On this episode, I feel like if we can talk about the CrossFit Games Open, we'll be relevant. And that's the most important thing, is for us to be relevant.
It's true. We're trying to stay relevant.
It's tough to do.
Yeah.
It's less painful, I think, doing it this way than doing it through fitness. All right, guys. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. It is week two of the Open. In review, that's going to be what we're talking about mostly today, is how 16.2 went for us, went for our gyms, went for a lot of the other athletes that we follow. I, for one, loved the workout. It destroyed me, and I totally overestimated my own abilities, which is kind of a theme I'm hearing from a lot of other people, saying it's just a lot harder than they thought.
Well, dude, the weights just got ridiculously heavy. You know what I mean? Like 225 did not feel like 225. And 225, those are weight. That's a weight that anybody who's in competition on a regular basis is very familiar with, right? Like, we're doing it for deadlifts. We're doing it for all kinds of different things. We're doing it for 21-15-9 workouts. So we have a real idea about like how that should feel, even how it should feel when you're tired. But for some reason, this workout, like, it felt really heavy.
Right.
That was the first bar where I was just like, okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, so all of a sudden now your anticipated split times get longer, right? You're resting more in between their lifts, and you're not getting to each kind of a check mark when you think you are. And that can kind of play with your mental game a little bit. I know for some people, if you know, hey, my goal is to finish the first round at, you know, 2 minutes and 30 seconds or 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and you look up and it's 3:15, I mean, you're maybe not in panic mode yet, but like all of a sudden, you know, you're not feeling so confident about this workout, even though you have plenty of time to make that up and recover and still have a great score. You know, sometimes mentally it can just bury you.
Yeah. I mean, that feeling of fatigue, and then plus when you're on a bar or you're on a weight that you are typically familiar with, you couple and it feels
right.
Almost
it feels
foreign.
Unfamiliar.
Yeah. Because you're just like, this feels way heavier than what I'm used to. Like, I feel like I'm lifting 255, 275 or something like that at this point. So you just kind of get a little bit rattled, and it's super easy to come off your game plan. And then that feeling of fatigue is amplified because you're just like mentally like going into a bad place.
Right. And that's one of the things that it can be very, I mean, it's tricky about watching the Open as they are announced, because these are the best athletes in the world doing CrossFit every week, and every week they make it look a lot easier than it actually is, right?
Yes, they do.
Especially with the heavy weights. That's the thing that you don't get an appreciation for what that weight feels like, because, you know, Dan Bailey, even though he only weighs 180 pounds or whatever he weighs at 5'6",
right?
Like, he's moving that barbell, and you're like, oh, well, he's still got gas in the tank. It must not be so bad.
Right.
Actually, he doesn't have any gas in the tank. He's just that big a beast.
Right.
You know, and like most of us are not.
And I think that's what's really surprising to me, because we have competed alongside Dan before.
Yeah.
We know he's not that big of a guy. He's very muscular, right? We're not trying to take away from, like, we're not saying he's a little guy, but he's just not a huge guy.
But he's not going to be your strength athlete.
Right. But in this workout, man, like I know that we've talked about it. He got a rep taken away. You know, and so his workout was invalidated. Regardless, the guy just crushed this workout. You know what I mean? And so the simple fact that he did that is, to me, it's a little bit mind-boggling.
I know. It's super, super impressive. My result, I ended up getting one squat clean at the 275 bar. I think when we did our preview, I was hoping to get to the 275 bar with like 4 to 5 minutes to kind of chip away at them, because I knew they were going to be heavy. I got there with 2.5 minutes.
Right. Quite a bit slower than
so right there, I knew, I'm like, okay, in the workout, I know in my head that I'm not finishing these 275 cleans. But as I get up to this bar, I'm thinking, okay, I still got 2.5 minutes. I can get some reps in. You know, maybe I get 4 or 5 reps. Bro, I picked up that bar and I was not even close. It moved off the ground, but right. I was not getting under it.
Did you make an attempt to do a third pull and like pull under the weight, or did you just like?
No, I made an attempt.
Oh,
I
you
made
did?
An attempt, and it just was not happening. It wasn't. I dove down, and the bar like just rolled off my shoulders.
Oh, those are the worst. Did you get ejected out of the backside of it? Or did
no,
you
I didn't
just,
fall. That was good.
You just basically just folded and melted under and just came out of your arms.
It was not my
I'm just trying to visualize what this actually looked like. So.
So I got to that bar, I say, with 2.5 minutes to go. I probably didn't make that pull until, I don't know, a minute 45 to go or something like that. So I tried to give myself some time, but I still was not enough. I was taxed.
Right.
Like, legs were dead. I get back up to the bar maybe with 45 seconds to go. So okay. I give myself another minute. I clean it. I catch it. Can't stand it up.
Just nothing.
Just buried at the bottom. Like, nope. Sticking point. Can't make it. And now I'm in like panic mode. I'm like, I'm not going to get one because right. that's 45 seconds. I just rested a minute. I can't rest as long as I just rested.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I have time to try again. So I go ahead and I try again with like 10 seconds to go.
Right.
And somehow, by some miracle, I don't know what happened, if I just got a shot of adrenaline at the right moment, I pulled the bar way higher than I pulled it the last time.
Right.
Which probably have like, this is like a fight or flight
thing. Yeah, exactly.
And I catch it solid, maybe a little wide, but I pop it up. I stand it up with 2 seconds to go or 3 seconds to go. And I'm like, joyous, elated that I got one rep, you know, like it's 1 point difference in my score, you know, for our team, which in the scheme of things doesn't mean much, but for my pride, it meant a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
To get that one.
What is 275 in terms of a percentage for you is around 90%, right?
Yeah, my best ever clean and jerk is 310.
So
like, yeah, so if I'm at 275, that's 90%, man.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's like 90. So, I mean, like, looking back, it makes sense. Yeah, after doing, you know, 13 or 14 minutes of hard work, like nonstop.
Right.
Like, your core doing 100 toes to bar, all those squat cleans already. Yeah, it would make sense that 90% would feel heavy.
Yeah. And you took a 50-pound jump from your last clean.
Right.
Right? And in between, you didn't take just a 50-pound jump. You did 25 toes to bar and 50 double unders.
Right.
Right? And then you take a 50-pound jump.
Yeah.
Not the best strategy if you're just working weightlifting, right? But if you're in a CrossFit workout that Dave Castro plans.
It's, and like when you say it like that, I get really proud. I'm like, yeah, all right. And then I hit 90%.
I kind of feel like it's I don't know if it was like Crank with Jason Statham or what it was. But, you know, when he – like right when something hits him – and then, like, they do, like, a little zoom into, like, your cerebral cortex and all the adrenaline and the things start firing and the neurons start firing. It's like, looks like there's an electrical system. And it's like, I just imagine you pulling on the bar in slow motion. And then all of a sudden, we zoom into your head and just, like, all the – or maybe it's the Fast and the Furious when all the NOS hits the
– Right, it hits the engine.
It's like –
Yeah, it's just like
– And then here comes
neon blue.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Shooting through.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's – what's happening inside my brain when I pull on a bar? I can't imagine the explosion that's happening inside your brain when you pull on a bar.
Dude, I don't feel like it's an explosion sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I'm like just barely getting by on fumes, you know? It's, that workout, though, was for me, was a little bit of a different story. I was obviously waiting for this workout compared to last week.
Yeah, right? I was waiting for it for you. So stoked to see this come up. And I may, you know, like I said, I overestimated myself. I told you I thought you could finish it in like 16 or 17 minutes.
Right.
Which that didn't happen, did it?
No.
No.
we overestimated ourselves and you overestimated me as well. But you know what? At the same time, you were right. You said I could finish this workout. I did not finish it the first time I tried. I got 2 cleans and I think I had my split time was 19:15 or something like that. 19:10.
When you started the cleans?
Yeah. So I had 45 seconds to get ready
right.
to do squat cleans.
It's not a lot of time for 7 squat cleans.
No, at 315.
Yeah.
And after 125 toes to bar. So I actually didn't even have my belt next to me on my first attempt. And so I was doing double unders in my last 10 double unders. I'm yelling at the people in my gym watching, my wife, a couple other coaches. I'm like, belt, belt, as I'm doing double unders. And I'm just like jumping up and down and like, somebody runs and grabs. Actually, my wife knew where my bag was and grabbed my belt, and I threw it on, and then I got 2 cleans, and it was actually relatively easy to get those cleans. I know that sounds weird,
right?
But for me, the fatiguing part was actually the cardio aspect. So once I got under the bar, standing it up was easy,
right?
The hard part was the pull, the first and second
pull. Holding your breath for that pull, right?
That was the tough part, and then it was like, in the front squat, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can stand this up. Back's rounding a little bit, but my legs are not going to stop moving, mm-hmm. right? Unless this thing breaks my spine, I'm going to stand up. So anyway, I was thinking all weekend, I trained pretty hard on Saturday, did a bunch of rowing intervals. I had sent you what I had done,
right?
And some assault bike intervals, and just thought, you know what, I really want to finish the open in better condition than I started. And so, and as you're getting these wake up calls every week on how to push it harder and how to go further, and I'm like, why can't I just harness that right now? And so I'm training really hard on Saturdays, trying to make sure that I, you know,
right,
I get better. And so, but I'm just thinking the whole time, I'm like, oh,
I gotta finish this workout.
I'm reading the names of people who finished the workout. I'm like, I know I'm as strong as him. I know I'm my conditioning as good as theirs. I need to finish it. And so, my wife has called into question my mental game at times, and not in a bad way.
As one's wife will.
As they will. Yeah. They know you, right? They know you the best. They believe in you the most, right? At least my wife does. And so the fact that I don't win and the fact that I'm not the four times fittest in the world, you know, the only thing that could be different.
It's just the mental
game. It's just mental. So my wife is just telling me, you know, like, you need to get better at just dealing with more and more pain. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm okay with dealing with pain. Like, I really think that I'm pretty good. But, you know, anyway, I'm just hearing her in my head. And so as a way of kind of validating all the effort and all the patience she's dealt with, you know, my pansiness, you know, like, I feel like I have to like validate it and make sure that I can just deal with more pain and get better. So I redid the workout, and I was way ahead of schedule compared to my first attempt.
Yeah, almost two full minutes.
Yeah. So I don't remember what my split time was, but it was like about a minute 45, I think it was, somewhere around there I had left on the clock. And I didn't miss any cleans. I almost missed a couple of them.
I mean, that very last one.
The very last one, yeah.
It was a very dramatic finish here.
1958, and, you know, I know everybody wanted me to get on the bar a little sooner, but I knew I needed that time, yeah. You know. But it felt really good to actually finish.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys can't see Ben, he just can't stop smiling. He's very excited about this. And deservedly so, man. It was an awesome performance.
Yeah.
One thing that you just said about training through the open, I think that's an interesting subject to kind of touch on.
I try to only say very interesting things. So that's really my goal in life, is to say interesting things.
What's interesting about that is you fail most of the time.
That's true.
But that in itself is interesting.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't realize the contrast between, you know, what's interesting and what's not interesting, unless I said mostly non-interesting things.
Sure. So you're doing it for my benefit.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. So training through the open, I think that's a really important thing to highlight for regional athletes, right? Open is a qualifying round. It is becoming more and more difficult every year because they're shrinking the number of spots available, but also making, you know, the athletes are getting better. So it's like, yeah, you need to have prime focus on the open if you want to qualify for regionals as an individual or as a team. But at the same time, there are people whose kind of eyes are on a bigger prize, and you can't just eliminate the rest of your training during these 5 weeks because you're not going to get those 5 weeks back. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're keeping an eye on that. One way that we are handling it is really trying to only do the open workout once. So if we can do it on a Friday, that gives us day one of training Friday, and then we train hard Saturday, Sunday, and that's like a regional weekend. Friday,
like
Saturday,
cool.
Sunday. It's the same 3 days. We learned that from China and Freddie when they're talking about how they get programmed.
Yeah.
And that's been working out really well. So then we rest Monday, we train Tuesday, and then we rest Wednesday, Thursday leading up to the Friday open. So you get two solid rest days. On Thursday, we'll do a dry run, check the workout out. So you kind of move and you're not coming in dead, you know, really fresh and like kind of rusty.
Right.
But that's how we're doing it. So we end up training four during the open. We're training 4 days, resting three. Mm. But those 3 days in a row that we train, we really go hard. Like, my body is wrecked right now, as is. We're recording on a Monday. And I think that's – I'm hoping we can maintain that. If we have the discipline to maintain that and really keep our eye on regionals as our main objective, I think it's going to work.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart way to do it. I mean – looking at the weekends that we have to deal with, the 3 days in a row, you know, making sure that your team's ready, you know?
Right.
I think that a lot of times people do these kind of funky training splits throughout the open, and it really messes with them because they're only focused on the open workout. And you know what? I repeat open workouts. I always want to do them once. I really do. But there's just something inside me that knows that, like, I go harder in them. They push me more. They show me more. And it's kind of nice to retest something and just go, like, man, why couldn't I figure that out on the first time around? Right? And so, like, I feel like they're so close that I'm able to really learn something.
Right. Well, don't you think that there is a physical adaptation that's happening? Like, you just did something that you had never done before.
Right.
Your body's going to make some adaptation to it, some pain tolerance increase or some maybe, you know, position increase. Like, you're getting better at catching a squat clean when you're really tired because you just did it.
Yeah.
Right? If it's like, if you give yourself enough recovery time, like 48 hours, you should be better at it.
Well, and the thing is, I think that you really brought this up last week, and that's doing these dry runs, right? It kind of helps your body, like, and your mind know right. what's coming, right? And so that way you do get that adaptation. Even if you don't do them twice, you know, you do a couple rounds, and, like, really, we did a couple rounds. We did 25, 50, 15, 25, 50 on this 16.2 workout.
Right.
You did two or three rounds on the on 16.1.
Right.
Right? You did three rounds.
Three rounds.
Yeah, three rounds. So definitely the volume is much, much lower, but it lets your body start to feel the movements in combination and at speed, right? Right. Without the intensity of the last 75% of the workout. So there's still adaptation that's happening there without really breaking the body down and doing the entire thing.
Right. And I would say that one thing, if we've learned anything from the first 2 weeks, the disparity in benefit from preparation this week compared to last week is extreme because the workout gets harder this week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The you know, week one, it's the same movements, the same weight, everything. So you can do three rounds of it. You get to a point where you're at a higher heart rate and you're like, okay, this is what I have to maintain and it's not going to change. But this week, the weight's getting heavier every round and that changes things. So even though we did a two round dry run, we never felt what the 225 or 275 was going to feel like.
Right.
So when that hit, you know, at least for me, that was kind of shocking. And I think for you too, now that you did it, really, you've done it 2.5 times, you got the benefit of that, right? You went through it all the way once, you felt all the weights,
yep.
exactly what it's going to feel like, and your body had the chance to adapt to that whole stimulus.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that the other side of it is, you know, you have that strategy too, right? Like, you find where you can make up just little bits of for you. And so some of us are very unique. We're all very unique athletes, right? And so just, you know what you're not good at, you know what you're not, you know, proficient at. And so when you try it and you try it with all the weights, it's kind of nice. And so anyway, I'm not really advocating you try it twice. I'm not advocating you try it once. I just think you just do what works for you. I feel like it's almost like an open book test, you know, and it's like somebody who thinks they should do it twice, but it's like, as a matter of principle, I'm only going to do it once. I kind of feel like that ends up being like putting your notes away during an open book test, right? Or not doing a dry run or something like that, you know?
Right.
Now, if you're Cara Webb, okay?
Right.
You don't need to do it twice.
Absolutely
right?
Not. You're just crushing everybody in the world.
Yeah, you're that good. And if she did it twice, who knows? Maybe she breaks the 15-minute mark, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe she's just so in tune with her body. She does know already her best strategy. Right. And I watched that workout. I don't really know what she could have done better. You know,
it doesn't seem like there's much more time to be saved.
No.
But yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. The putting your notes away during an open book test, that's like, it's almost like righteousness to the point of fault. Like, just for the sake of righteousness, you know. But I will say that I think people need to know what their purpose is for doing the open and let that drive them on whether or not they're going to redo the workout.
Right.
Don't just do it again because you have a huge ego and you want to like beat somebody else in the gym. Like, that's a reason, but I don't think it's a good enough reason to, let's be honest, like, thrash yourself a second time in 3 days,
right?
Because these workouts do tax the body a lot more than regular workouts.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility for your average gym member to like get carried away and try to do the workout 2 or 3 times and then hurt themselves because of it. Right.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that you really need to make sure you know why you're doing a workout. Also, you know, the whole idea of doing a workout And I know we talked about this last year, and then your new strategy is I'm just going to try harder. You know?
Right.
That never, ever works unless you happen to fall into a different strategy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And people aren't even aware enough to realize if that happens most of the time. Like, hey, what happened? Well, I just tried harder. I watched you 2 days ago do it. You were dying. Like, there's no way you tried harder today than you did. You know what I mean? Unless you got exponentially more fit, or you didn't sleep well the night before, or something, right? Like, you can't just try harder. That doesn't work.
No,
you know?
I mean, if you've been doing CrossFit for a while and you haven't figured out how to try hard, like, you probably, I mean, you're an outlier, that's for sure. Because usually effort is not the problem, right? Usually strategy is the problem, or, you know, capacity is the problem. And you're not going to fix capacity in 2 days. You can fix strategy in
sure.
2 days. So that's a point well taken for sure.
So let's talk about these other, like these other scores that we're seeing come in from across the world.
Like Carl Webb's score?
Yeah. And so let me just back up the truck for just a second. And just talk about last week's episode. So we said, who do you think's going to be on top after this week in the men's? I went back and listened to that. I said Noah, right? You said Rich.
Yeah.
When you phrased the question, and because I was not listening very well, I thought you meant in terms of the open as a whole,
right?
Not in this workout, right? In this workout, I don't think Noah has a chance at beating Rich.
Right.
Right. That was kind of like, I just don't want people to think that I'm that far removed and that disconnected from a workout like this, that I think that Noah Olsen is going to beat Rich at this workout. I thought he would do better at this workout than Rich did at the last workout.
Aggregate,
yes. Right. And so that being said, I don't think that's still going to be the case. I think that Rich's score is going to hold up better than Noah's score.
What is Rich's score?
I don't know yet, but that's just my personal guess at this point. A lot of people are finishing the workout. And if I finish the workout, I highly doubt that Rich did not.
Yeah,
right?
Rich is going to finish this workout.
He's going to finish the workout. And so, and we pretty much know that already. I mean, it is what it is. Josh Bridges finished the workout.
So amazing.
You know what I mean?
Just amazing.
He just is that good. You know, Paul Tremblay?
I thought he would do well at this workout. Did not finish the workout.
No, four reps shy, and his split time was 17:10.
A lot of time.
A lot of time at that 3:15.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, some very...
Come on, Paul, Canadian, let's go.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Hey, bro.
But let's go. Let's talk specifically about Carl Webb for a second, because
was my pick, bro. I don't know if you remember that.
I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, I thought Carl Webb was weird. I mean, it's a pretty slam dunk with how strong she is, how short she is, the fact that, you know, she's got an axe to grind. She's ready to really make a strong run. I mean, is anybody within a minute of her time?
I don't think so. My pick, I said that somebody who would do really well was, I said Lauren Fisher and Camille.
Right.
Camille is actually third in this workout overall right now, so which is pretty good. And then
that's number two,
I'm trying to figure out who that is. I don't have that pulled up yet, but it looks like, you know.
What was Camille's time? Do you remember?
Camille's time was, if I pull off the top of my head, 16:29.
So fast. The girls are really crushing this. Do you think this is just an improper, a discrepancy in the weights here? Like, should they have been going heavier?
You know what? I think that at the lower tier athletes for girls, you know what I mean? And I don't mean lower because you're low. I just mean there's the upper tier females and like the best girls, and they're going to move the 205. They're going to move the 175. But I feel like there's a big drop off, right? Like between like your games level girl and your regional level girl.
Whereas in the men,
it's... Man.
The strength is like pretty equivalent.
Yeah, the strength is very equivalent. So
that's a good point. The strength on the men's side has gotten so incredible that you go to a regional competition or like Wadapalooza or these other competitions, these guys are all lifting games level weights.
Right.
They just don't have games level motors.
And they don't know how to maintain that level of strength with that level of...
Right. But with the girls, there's not many people out there moving games level weights.
No. And so like your girls, you have a lot of finishers, right? Like you have already posted, you have so many finishers in this workout. As far as the top ranked girl, like your top ranked girl is 1507, which is Kara. Your number two is actually, I just pulled it up, Brooke Wells. which doesn't surprise me at all.
Should have called that one.
Yeah. But you know what? We watched her do the, you know, heavy grace at 155.
Right.
And she's good at lifting when she's tired. It gets a little messy.
Right.
But she'll stand it up.
You can appreciate that.
I can appreciate that. Right. So I like that style. I mean, it helps in a workout like this. You know, you got to be able to do that sometimes. So, and then Cara Webb is just out of this world. And then number three is Camille. So there's a really, you know, they're close, Camille and Brooke. And then, you know, obviously, Cara Webb is a full minute faster than both of them. And that's insane.
Well, go pull up the men right now. I'm curious to see what the fastest men's posted time was, because our prediction, or my prediction, was that somebody would get around 16 minutes. That's been held true on the women's side, but I don't know if it has on the men's side.
So Goodmanson redid it. Got 18:19.
You see, he has the fastest time.
The next fastest time is Jeff Evans. Right? Jeff Evans, yeah. I actually messaged him back and forth on Facebook just a couple days ago, and I saw him post his time. Guy is a freak.
He's so strong.
So I mean, explosive. I think I've seen him do like a 450-pound front squat, 455.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, so he's going to have no problem. Once he gets that bar onto his shoulders, you know, he's going to have no problem doing that.
Yeah, but still, that's a three-minute gap between the fastest woman and the fastest man.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
Of what's posted.
Yeah, and actually, 18th place in the world, somebody out of NorCal, is Ruben Perez.
Yeah, Ruben did great on this.
Yeah, so... You know, you only have, as far as finishers who've posted so far, you only have 18 finishers of the workout. You know, obviously we know there's going to be a few more.
Yeah, there'll be a few more.
But, I mean, athletes like who've got great motors, James Hobart.
Right.
Finished the workout.
Did he really? Good for him, man. That's impressive, because he's not a big guy either.
No, he's not. And so there seems like this real like give and take. Like, if you're great at toes to bar and maybe double unders and have a great motor.
True.
And then you're able to... kind of give yourself some time.
Let's give some credit to that, because like the toe to bar,
freaking Bridges, dude, third place,
yeah,
in the world.
Toe to bar was a huge part of that workout. You know,
oh,
it's a huge part of that workout.
As I sit here, my abs are telling me the exact same thing.
It's obviously the heavy squat clean is what's going to get the most attention, but it is 125 toes to bar before mm-hmm. you finish,
mm-hmm.
And that eats up the time that you have to do your squat cleans.
Yeah.
So when you have these athletes, like you said, Hobart, Bridges, Bailey, these guys that are not big athletes but are, you know, core monsters, like they can do those toes to bar probably in less than a minute every round,
yeah,
and hold that pace,
right?
Like that just gives them more time and less heart rate to do those heavy lifts.
Exactly.
So I gotta say, man, so far the programming in this Open has been awesome.
Yeah.
I'm one that's quick to give credit when credit is due, and I really appreciate the thought that's gone into these things. I think sometimes the Open workouts can be a bit monotonous and grinding, and you know, while that's something to be said for that,
it's almost like the same test over and over again.
Right.
A lot of times, right? Like people are like, oh, I'm going to practice like an Open workout, and we can all come up with like a random Open workout to just practice.
All right, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Let's just do that, you know, with some light loading, you know, and just keep moving, right?
Yeah.
Like, we could all come up with a workout that's an Open workout.
I mean, these workouts were hard, but they were clever.
Yes.
You know?
I'm really surprised. I'm looking at the men's, and, an athlete like Nick Uranker.
Right.
Big.
Big, strong.
Very strong.
Very strong.
Right? 429 reps.
One away.
Had almost 3 minutes to get through those cleans. Right? Wasn't able to do it. I know his pace was relatively close to mine. I was around, you know, 18.
Right, 18-ish.
18-ish, right? So he had a good 40 seconds longer than me. I'm definitely not saying I'm as strong as Nick. I just, on this workout, must have favored me for some reason.
Yeah.
And
that's
maybe,
crazy that he had that much time and couldn't finish that. I mean, he just barely missed a 400-pound clean.
Right.
Recently.
Yeah. And I think that...
That puts this at about 80% of his max, right?
Right. And I just think you look at that and you look at somebody like Josh Bridges, and I bet you, I'm just going to say, I bet Nick Uranker gives a lot of credit to guys like Josh Bridges, but it probably eats him up a little bit that Josh Bridges got him on this workout.
Yeah, by one rep.
By one rep. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody would take anything away from Josh, and they just look at him and they go, man, that's pretty beastie. But like myself, it even eats me up, and I finished the workout that Josh got me on that workout, because I'm like, man.
Because that's the guy, this is the workout you want to beat him at.
That's, yeah.
This is one you should beat him
then
at.
Then the simple fact that I can't just shows what a beast he is.
Right.
Right.
Dude, I used to have this conversation with Kalipa all the time.
Right.
We'd be at regionals and I'm like, all right, this is a workout that favors me, so I should do better than Jason. And he would still beat me.
Right.
You know, like even if I placed third or fourth in the workout, like I still had a great finish. I'm like, God damn, Kalipa still beat me? Like,
yeah.
this is like a run, you know, like toe to bar,
burpee box
burpee
jump.
Work. I'm like, yeah. How is he beating me?
Yeah.
Like,
right?
Is this because he's like, you feel like, okay, this is my edge.
Yeah.
And now this guy is saying, I'm so good that you don't even have that edge.
Right.
You may have it over the rest of the field, but you don't have it over me.
Right.
And that's kind of what Bridges is saying here with this result is, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the workout that's supposed to bury me.
Right.
Look out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Ben, you're a big, strong guy, and you want to make a run at regionals again this year. Well, you're not going to beat me because I'm
beating you in the strength workout.
Yeah, I'm beating you in the strength workout. You know, I'm just – that's just crazy to me.
That's crazy.
So if we're looking at this, you know, as we – I don't know. We move towards 16.3. We talked a little bit about our predictions for this week. I mean, are you still sticking with the deadlift, box jump, couplet? What are you thinking?
Well –
we've had two triplets.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think the reason we said that was we're not going to have – I probably won't have the muscle-ups this week. Maybe – I thought – didn't we say something about deadlift handstand push-ups?
Oh, yes. Excuse me. That's what he said. Deadlift handstand push-ups. That's what I meant to say, actually.
Yeah. I could see the deadlift handstand push-up couplet coming up. I could also see I think we haven't had any snatches yet.
Yeah.
Like ground overheads, and that's in every single open.
Yeah.
And there's still wall balls to come. There's still thrusters to come. Still muscle ups to come.
Rowing.
Still rowing to come.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with that. Deadlift and handstand push up couplet, like a 3-3-6-6-9-9.
I like it.
I think that'll make a lot of sense. I'm eager to see what the Dave Castro has to put on Instagram as the teasers. I think those are pretty fun.
Yeah, those are really fun.
But yeah, what, you thinking there might be something different? Even though you've trying to take a moral stand against predicting?
Yeah. You know what? I think that just my common sense just kind of is like drawn towards the deadlift handstand push-up combination. I feel like that's just like such a classic combination we've never seen in the open before.
They still need to do a repeat, though. He always does a repeat.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking maybe, you know, like last year he didn't do any burpees.
Right.
Right? Maybe this year he doesn't do a repeat. You know? I feel like there's so many cool workouts out there. He's doing such a good job coming up with these new ones.
Yeah, it has been really fun this year so far.
Hey, all right. The mail guy just came in and just dropped off a big, huge package. Makes me very happy.
Presents.
Yay. But yeah, I just, no repeat would be awesome.
Do you think they would repeat the handstand push-up workout from last year?
Not because we've done the squat. We just did squat cleans. So we'll do power cleans.
Right, so you'd have to change it.
Maybe with a snatch.
Maybe with a snatch.
Snatch, handstand push-up. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're going to get a snatch muscle up, like an Amanda pairing.
Like an Amanda pairing. That would be pretty advanced for the open, though. That's a really technical combination. That's difficult.
Mm-hmm. And then the scale would be what, right? Because you'd have to go to what? Pull-ups?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, pull-ups or, I don't know, what would you else do for muscle-ups? It's kind of pull-ups probably.
Yeah, your scaled athletes, maybe they have them do push-ups or something like that.
Right.
You could see something like that, hand release push-ups or something.
Do you feel like the scaling was too easy this week?
Only because the double under, right? Like
right.
The double under, excuse me, really messes with people. And so I feel like if people could get through double unders, you know, it would really free them up to be able to do a lot of other things. But I think it's really CrossFit. I think it's Dave. Trying to push people like, hey, double unders are not advanced, right? They're not advanced. You can do them. You can do them. If you focus, you can do them, you know? And so I feel like last year, that was everybody thought too. Remember, it was wall balls, single unders, right? And they just wall ball, single under, right? And it was just this insane number of wall balls and single unders. And I think that, you know, I think he's driving home that point. And I'm okay with it because I actually agree. I feel like a lot more people should be able to do double unders than actually do double unders.
Right. We've been dealing with this at our gym because we have our internal fantasy open going on and people have to decide whether or not to scale or RX each week based on the workout. And so this week workout, they have three elements, right? Can you do a toe to bar? Can you do double unders? Can you do the first weight of a squat clean? And most people, the answer is yes, they could do a double under, but they can't do them well. So they want to scale because they feel like, I can't do them well yet. I'm failing. I'm going to have a horrible score.
I'm going to be whipping myself.
Right. And I'm like, I'm going to get a score of like, you know, I'm not going to get out of the first 4 minutes. So I'd rather do 50 single unders with knee raises and a light squat clean and just get like, you know, churn out three or four rounds and then have a really high score. And we've had to throw the brakes on those people because remember, 2 years ago, there was not a scaled option.
Right.
Right.
You just had to figure it out.
You had to, you participate, you had to really push it and try. And that's what we're trying. That's the point we're trying to drive home is that, you know, if you can at all do the workout, then you should do it
right.
as prescribed.
Yeah.
If you physically cannot, like you can't get your toes to the bar, that hasn't happened for you yet. Now there's an option. There's an option for you to go to. And that's what I think the intention is for the scale division is to provide an avenue for the people who physically can't do the prescribed workout,
yeah.
not who can't do the prescribed workout well.
The only hard part is with these gain four minute type workouts is your workout's going to be over in 4 minutes, right? And so that is a little frustrating when you have something like toe to bar, right?
Well, right, but then you just tell them, hey, just keep working out.
Yeah.
Keep going, but your score stops at 4 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just AMRAP you for the next 12 minutes or something
right, exactly.
Like that.
Go
right.
to the last person's done.
Right.
That's totally cool.
Yeah.
Still get your you know, your sweat in, your workout in.
No, I agree about that, about the scale division. I think it's RX unless you can't, right? And we had a few athletes, and you've had them before too, that a couple of years ago, you're trying to get them to do a toes to bar, and it was really like 7 minutes of them trying to do a toes to bar.
Right.
Right?
That sucks.
Right, with the power clean and jerk, right? Remember the 135 and the toe
right.
to bar? And they do the cleans, and then all of a sudden they're on their second set of toes to bar or their first set, and they literally just...
Right, it's just like no rep.
Right.
No rep. And then that's like, that's a different
discouraging,
thing.
Right? Like right. it doesn't build the community in that sense. To some people, it motivates you. But to some people, you're like, eh, not so much. But this week when 16.3 comes out, we're going to make sure that we get together. We're going to give these guys a tip video and some tips and tricks on how to get the best score possible, right?
That's right. Thursday night, we're going to be over at my gym. We're going to watch the announcement, and then we're going to give a little, you know, video of us going through the dry run with some advice on what to do, what not to do when you go through your first attempt at the workout. And hopefully you're only because you just dominate.
Right. So we'll do the dry run for you. We'll make some notes on it, and it'll be on our YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
Right. So you guys stay tuned for that. And if you guys have anything, you have any questions, we're going to post the cover art for this episode tomorrow on our Instagram, but you guys can go on there and ask some questions, and we'll maybe address those on the tips and tricks video for you, and to maybe address any specific questions, whether it be mindset in the open, warming up, nutrition, things like that.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good week, and good luck on 16.3.